Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM, now providing a new mobile site, FarmerView, for up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
It's 8:50. Good morning. I'm Chris Berube. You're listening to WILL. Stay tuned later this morning on Focus, a look at bilingual education in Illinois. Now with your pre-opening market reports, here's Dave Dickey.
Thank you very much, Chris, and good Thursday morning, everyone. Two U.S. ethanol trade groups criticized yesterday a European Union proposal to impose duties on ethanol imported from the United States. The Renewable Fuels Association and Growth Energy say in a joint statement that they are outraged by the European Commission's proposal, which they say would add a 9.6% anti-dumping duty. Monsanto and Brazilian farm groups yesterday announced an agreement that ends a dispute over royalties on first-generation Roundup Ready soybeans and establishes rules for second-generation soybean seeds. Brazil's National Agriculture Confederation and farm groups from 10 states, representing 70% of soybean output, accepted Monsanto's proposal, but groups in Mato Grosso, Brazil's number one soy state, refused to sign and vowed to continue to fight the St. Louis-based company in the courts. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 13,822. It is up 43 points. The NASDAQ is at 3153, and it is unchanged.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Changing weather biases are likely across the U.S. Midwest as we move forward through the coming week, and that change is likely to include an increase in precipitation frequency and significance for many areas, and a return to somewhat warmer weather, at least for a little while. But we will continue to see a seesaw effect of temperatures where we'll see warmer days coming up, followed by some more colder weather as well. It's typical winter weather for the most part of the region. Well, as we move through these next few days, we are going to get away from the extreme cold that continues to occur periodically. This morning, the temperatures across the upper portions of the Midwest fell quite precipitously in northern Minnesota, dropping down to the negative 30s. Looks like many other negative 20s and negative teens were noted across quite a few other areas across the upper parts of the Midwest, with negative single-digit readings reaching down into northern Iowa and portions of southern Wisconsin. Once again, we saw temperatures in the single digits across the lower Midwest, but temperatures were not cold enough for a long enough period of time to harm our winter wheat crop. As we go forward through these next couple of days, like I said, we're going to see a little more variety in those temperatures, and there'll be times when we will actually see a little bit of an improvement in the weather pattern. The temperatures here this afternoon are expected to recover just somewhat in the northwestern parts of the region, but because it's so cold this morning, it's going to be very difficult to get much warmer than the single digits and teens across Minnesota, Wisconsin, parts of northern Iowa. 20s and 30s will occur in the lower parts of the Midwest, and it looks like as we go into the night tonight, we'll likely see some of that cold air still hanging with us. Tomorrow afternoon's highs will still be in the positive negative single digit readings in the far northwestern corner of the Corn Belt, while we'll likely see 20s and 30s across the eastern Midwest, with a few 40s likely in Kansas, Missouri, and some immediate neighboring areas. The high temperatures as we move on into Saturday will turn colder again in the lower parts of the Midwest as another cool front shoves its way through the region. Highs will be mostly in the teens and 20s across the majority of the Midwest, with a few 30s in the extreme south. Sunday afternoon, we'll start another warming trend, and this time will be sustainable for a little while. We'll look for the warmest weather to occur as we move into Monday and Tuesday of next week. Tuesday afternoon will generate highs in the 50s and 60s across much of the lower and eastern parts of the Midwest, and the northwestern areas, though, will probably not be much warmer than 20s and 30s. Well, the low temperatures at night coming up here tonight, at least, will be, again, in the single digits and teens across the majority of the Midwest, with some sub-zero readings in the far northwest. We'll likely see the temperatures again colder on Sunday or Saturday morning, with the readings well below zero again in that northwestern part of the Corn Belt. Mostly the same areas impacted this morning. We'll likely see those sub-zero readings again on Saturday. After that, though, we should be done with the coldest weather. Most lows thereafter will be in the teens and 20s through a big part of the Midwest, with some readings even warmer ahead of the next storm system due into the region as we move into the Tuesday-Wednesday time period. That storm system I just mentioned will bring rain and snow to a large part of the Midwest, but before it gets here, we'll have two smaller systems impacting the region. The first will be a little bit of a snow event moving across the region overnight tonight and into the day tomorrow. A dusting to 2 inches of snow will likely occur from Minnesota into parts of Ohio and Michigan. We'll maybe see a little bit of a wintry mix of precipitation to the south of that. As we move on out in time, there'll be another disturbance that'll come out of the Central Plains and move into the Midwest. This one will likely occur from late Saturday into early Monday morning. It'll be mostly a rain event, but the northern portions of the precipitation shield will likely produce a wintry mix, including freezing drizzle and freezing rain, so that might create some travel problems for areas from Iowa and northern Illinois into parts of the Great Lakes region. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
The 24th annual All-Day Ag Outlook meeting on March 5th is sure to attract a crowd. We've got a great lineup of panels. We've got presentations on the changing southern U.S. farm landscape, projected land values in 2013, diversifying into livestock, and of course, our popular marketing panels on soybeans, corn, and cash grain. Guarantee your seats by calling 217-333-7300. The cost is $25 and includes a Beef House continental breakfast and lunch. When you register with your major credit card, we'll mail your tickets good for our VIP line. The number to call is 217-333-7300. Let's go ahead and look at the electronic trade and see how futures have been moving overnight in Kansas City. March wheat now, 823 and three quarters, down 6.5. July, 840 and a quarter, down 8.25. March wheat in Chicago, 767 and a quarter, down 7.5. July, 781 and a half, down 7.25. March corn, 716, down 4.75. July, 711 and three quarters, down 5.25. December, 585 and three quarters, down 4.5. March soybeans, 1422, down 15. July, 1404 and a half, down 15.25. November, 1297 and a half, down 7. March soybean meal, 410.80, down 570. March soybean oil, 51.65, down 38. February live cattle, 126.15, up 37.5. January feeders, 144.77 and a half, up 57.5. And February lean hogs, 86.97 and a half, and they are up a dollar. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of Ag Review. She is in Morton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning to you, Dave.
Well, when the week started, it started out promising, but boy, the last few sessions, we've just been going slowly, letting the air out of the tire.
Yeah, really, the whole post-report rally has just kind of given up the ghost. And I, you know, we have been up a couple of weeks here in the beans. We've just not been able to get much going at all, either on old or new crop corn.
And this has got to be disappointing because we usually have some seasonal strength into the end of the month and maybe even the first week of February.
Yeah, particularly in the corn, we will see upside in that time frame. And, you know, the ag attaché came out and cut the Brazilian corn crop 2 million metric tons. Mm. And I thought that might give a little life to this corn market, but not so.
Meanwhile, over in the soybeans, we continue to play how high you can go. I saw a number of 84 for Brazil now, 84 million metric tons. But I don't think anybody in the trade truly believes that number.
I don't think the trade's buying into numbers much over 82. And I think the other thought is that at least the first harvested beans are going to go into their domestic supplies. And the concerns about how port congestions will continue there in southern Brazil, I think could give us a little more export business time-wise than what the trade's been looking at altogether.
You know, there was some thinking that it might be the wheat market that will lead perhaps corn higher, maybe even drag soybeans along with it as well. But it is the third session in a row of lower daily highs, and I don't know if we are technically moving sideways or we're trying to signal something trend-changing.
Well, the wheat has been the leader, and probably it was the leader to the downside this week. From a technical standpoint, mm-hmm. we'll have a weekly reversal down in the wheat unless we have some real good upside in the next day or two.
Thank you much, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of Ag Review, and she is in Morton, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace, March corn, 716 and a quarter, down 4 and a quarter, now 4 and a half. July, 712 down 5. December, 586 down 4 and a quarter. March soybeans, 1422 down 15. July, 1404 and three quarters down 15. November at 1297 and a half, they are down 7. March soybean meal, 410.90 down 560. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's 901 Central Time.